Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Questfront podcast. I'm your host, Maya. Today, my guest is somebody from the UK, finally again, talking to Lauren Bell today, tour manager, arts manager, festival producer, and so many other roles. But I think for that, it's best to turn to Lauren. And yeah, Lauren, please introduce yourself and tell us about all the freaking cool things that you're doing. And thanks for being with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be doing this. So I guess I could probably start with how I got into the industry. So my story is a bit of a weird one. I actually am a qualified veterinary nurse, and that was my first career that I had. So I'm 28 now. When I was 16 or whatever, leaving school, that is the path that I went into. When I was at school, I very much wanted to work in music. That was all I wanted to do. I was always in the music room when I was at school. It was my highest grade that I got coming out of high school as well. But it was the kind of thing where I grew up in this very small village in the middle of nowhere. My family were very much of the impression that music wasn't a career. It's not something that I could go into. So they pushed me down the route of working with animals, of being like, this is a very stable path. You'll make money doing this. Go and do this instead. So I did that. And then towards the end of my studying, I guess, when I was doing my final exams, I went to an event in Edinburgh and I met a guy called Chase Coleman. So he is an actor. If you know The Vampire Diaries, the originals, he was on one of those shows and he was just hosting this random event up in Scotland. So I got chatting to him and I was just like, yeah, this is what I do, but I've always wanted to do this. And he was just at the point where he was starting to break out of acting into music. So he said to me, well, okay, I'm from LA, but I'm building this team in the UK. Why don't you just come and get involved with this and see what you can do, basically. So I started doing that around the time I was doing my exams for veterinary nursing, and just kind of fell in love with it. I did quite a lot with Chase. So we planned a lot of shows in London, around Europe, and actually the final day of my last exam for veterinary nursing, I went and did that and then went straight to an event with Chase afterwards. So it's wow. Like I was already starting to step into the world of music whilst I was doing this other thing that I really didn't want to be doing, but I felt I had to do to give my family and my parents approval. Yeah, so that's basically how I got started. And then from then onwards, I moved down to London and it all just started rolling from there, really. I started to figure out all the different roles that existed within the music industry. I got a job for National Merchandise, selling merch at some of the big venues in London.
Yeah.
Just started meeting new people and it just, yeah, rolled from there.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's funny you described, kind of being in a job you kind of didn't want to do, and also in the music world. In another life, I was also in the science world and doing a job training there, not necessarily to please my parents or anybody, but more like I enjoyed science in school, and I was always playing music. I played in bands since I'd been like, I don't know, 15 or whatever. Like, it was always what I wanted to do, but at the time, I didn't quite see how that could be a career, and neither did my parents or anybody around me. And everybody was like, you're great at, like, the music thing, but do something real.
Yeah,
and then you can still do the music thing, you know? Like, finish school, finish your job training, and then you go do whatever. And so that's what I did. And I think it was good advice. Like, in all honesty, you know, I got very, very close over the last years to go back to my original job. Ended up not doing it and pulling through, but it was one of those, you know, situations where I was like, that was good advice. But yeah, I totally remember on the very day for the job training, like in science stuff, that like the ceremony day where we're supposed to pick up the certificates and do all of these things and whatever, and they only told us quite late about the date or whatever, and so I was like, so I just didn't show because I was on tour.
Yeah.
It's like this is so on point. And straight after that, you know, just music it was. But yeah, back to you. I guess so. You mentioned you've been in the merchandise world a little bit, but how about you give us a little bit of an overview over kind of, what are sort of all of your roles and what is sort of more your primary focus at the moment, and
Okay, so I actually don't work that merchandise job anymore. I recently quit that one. So I was with them for just over 5 years. And that has been my only payroll job for a while now. So I've just gone fully freelance, which is exciting, but kind of scary at the same time. I am still studying at BIM London. I'm in my final year doing music business and event management. So I really felt like by me choosing to do that course and go into doing a degree has been the next step that I needed to get to where I am now. So I guess I can talk about the artist management side of stuff first, because I fell into that. It wasn't something that I ever expected that I would be doing. So it was a module that we had on my first year at BIM, and I really enjoyed it, got on really well. And at the same time, I just managed to get an internship with a company called Prolifica. So they were managing some of my favorite bands at the time. I don't know who's on their roster now, but I got involved with the Yumi at Six album release campaign through their management, basically, and just loved it. Loved figuring out how to do things like release campaigns, dealing with things like scheduling for their upcoming shows, coming in from booking agents and stuff. And I fed it all back to my lecturer at BIM, and he was like, well, why don't you start looking to start something yourself? And I was just chatting with a few different people over the coming year, sort of, and found this band called Never Said, who were just starting out and they were looking for management. So I took them on as a bit of a project to figure out whether it was something that I wanted to do long term or not. And then from there, it's just grown. And I've got quite a few on my roster now that I manage. And yeah, it's been cool figuring it out, because I feel like at the start I was just kind of winging it and making it up as I went along. But yeah, it's really good. And then that's sort of my side thing now, because I'm mostly within the live events side of stuff. I do a lot of tour management and artist liaison and show repping and merch management and all of that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I'm very aware, and a lot of people have said this to me as well, that touring isn't going to be sustainable long term. There's going to reach a point where I'm not going to be able to keep going with this, because I might want to settle down, or it just, burnout is a real thing, especially within the live events. Doing tours back to back, I did 3 back to back this year. It was just a lot. And so that's why I'm still doing the artist management as well.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, yeah, pretty similar thing for me, to be honest. But so I guess with all of those roles, sort of what does your typical month kind of look like? Sort of, I guess, you know, if I'm just thinking, you know, somebody listening to this, just getting started, thinking like, how can I do that? And like, surely you'd think, how can you sort of piece all of these jobs together? And like, I guess a really good question to ask is like, how do you organize all of that? Like, do you have a, I was asking that my last guest the other week, like, what kind of, like, what scheduling app do you use? Like, do you, is it just Google Calendar, or like, do you have a secret trick?
I don't really. I just have a physical diary, because I found that using something like Google Calendar or an app was just too much for me, because I'm already on so many other people's calendars. So like bands that I manage, I'm on my partner's calendar as well. So if I started adding all of my work stuff into that as well, it would just become too confusing. So I like having an actual physical book that I carry around with me, and then I just write stuff in whenever I get any work booked in, and that helps me better than doing it on my phone, because I'm always on my phone as well.
But do you have like a backup in case that book ever gets stolen, lost or something?
I mean, I have it all in my emails anyway, so it wouldn't be hard for me to go through and find like work that I've got booked in. But yeah, it's just, for me, it's useful to have a physical diary.
No, that's fair enough. And so sort of in your regular given month, you know, the listener could imagine you're doing, I don't know, like a one-off merch job here the one week, and another show rep job the other week here, then start a tour for 2 weeks, and kind of keep going like that.
Yeah, so every month is different, really. There's no way I can really put it into words what it looks like, because some months will be really busy and other months not so much. And sometimes I find that I'll get last minute jobs as well. So some of the promoters that I rep for will email me maybe a day or two just saying, we desperately need somebody, can you do this? And occasionally I find that I have to cancel personal plans because I want to go and do this show that I've been offered. So yeah, I guess that aspect of it can be quite difficult, because I've invested a lot into my career.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people who maybe don't understand how the music industry works, especially friends and things, like my best friend is saying to me all the time, you're overworking yourself, you're doing too much, and you're not spending enough time going out and seeing friends and stuff. But I love what I do so much that it's very hard for me to say no to people when they offer me work, because it doesn't feel like work to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel that, yeah, it's yeah, exactly that. It's, and it somehow is even worth it despite the horrendous pay that it often is. Like, if all of us music people started to actually calculate the wages on the hour, I think that would be really terrible. But yeah, you're making a really important point. Like, it's so hard to keep kind of any personal life or like growth, personal development kind of happening when you're out, you know, especially doing sort of live touring stuff so much. And I guess specifically, you know, you're also doing the tour management, you're doing merch, etc. Like, which what it boils down to is those are rules of pleasing other people in the end, you know? So I was wondering, do you also, I guess specifically when you work with artists that you don't particularly get along with or something, do you sometimes feel like almost a sense of, I guess, depersonalization on those kind of tours, where every, like, the whole day is nothing but scheduling around the artist's needs and making sure that they're comfortable and make sure they're happy and, like, always putting yourself last and your own needs? Yeah, like, I guess, how do you manage that?
I mean, in terms of working with artists that I don't like, I feel like I've been pretty lucky so far that I haven't really had that. So all of the tours and things I've been on, or anything where I've done artist liaison, I can't think of any situation really where I've been like, wow, this person's awful and I really don't want to work with them again. Something I probably would know is just how difficult it can be sometimes being a woman in the industry. So I have had times where I've been working on merch and maybe somebody in the audience that's just at the show comes up to me and they're like, oh, whose girlfriend are you? And then I have to be like, actually, I'm their manager or their tour manager. And sometimes it can be quite entertaining seeing the shock on their face, realizing that I'm actually doing what I do and I'm not just somebody's partner there just to help out.
Yeah, the sexism is so real. I mean, it's friggin' terrible. I think it's really, really hard to sort of move on when those kind of things happen, but I guess yeah, seeing almost like the entertainment in the shock on their faces, I guess what I'm saying is I'm glad you seem to have somewhat of a coping strategy of kind of carrying on with your night and, you know, moving through, because yeah, that is really, really tiring, especially if you're under so much pressure, you know, already handling, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds in merch, etc. And then kind of getting that stuff distracting you is really the last thing you want, you know. So anyways, one thing that I did want to ask you is, and I guess it sort of ties into this, what skills have you found sort of most useful to sort of navigate your different jobs and you know, making them all work? Yeah, what skills help you navigate that most?
resiliency. I don't know whether that's counts as a skill or just as how to be as a
Massively.
person, but yeah, being resilient is something. And people tell me all the time, "Oh, you're so resilient for this reason." But yeah, I do feel like that's a big one. And also, everybody's going to say this, but having those organizational skills, because if you're not organized, you're going to really struggle in this industry, especially with the tour management side of stuff. It can be a lot, like the advancing alone before you even get out on the tour. You need to be organized with that because everyone's relying on you. And if you're not doing it, they're not going to do it.
When do you typically start the advancing for tour?
As soon as the venues let me have the information, or the promoters let me have the information. So I did one recently. I TM for an artist called Nell Meskel, who is wonderful, by the way. Definitely check her out. And yeah, it was just a tour where she was supporting another artist. And I tried to start advancing it about 6 weeks before, just because I wanted to get organized and have everything ready. Or all of her band and things started messaging me, asking me for information, and just started emailing out all of the venues and the promoters, being like, "Hey, I'm the TM, just introducing myself. Can I please get any information you've got at this point so I can start piecing it all together?" Because it was something, I think it was 12 shows that we were doing. So I had that to do in the days off to figure out. And most of them got back to me pretty much straight away, which was helpful. But sometimes you have to really push them to get any kind of information. And it can be very annoying because occasionally you'll be out on tour and you've still got a couple of shows on the tour that haven't given you the advance for the show.
Oh yeah, I
Do
mean
it as you go.
the amount of times I still wouldn't have the full information like the day before.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. It for me it was a big kind of step forward. I'm a very I seek harmony. I'm very non-confrontative, and like I hate conflict. And I will do anything to avoid sort of having to, change my tone or something like that. But working and touring, especially when it's tours back to back and you just need to get information and there's just too much money on the line really to not get that information. I feel like this year specifically, I made a big shift in like what I tolerate. And one thing that I've done is, if I really need information, I'll just straight up call somebody, And I've really come to appreciate people with phone numbers and their email signatures.
I
but
feel that.
seriously, like, yeah, I'm just so much more straight to the point, and if I need info, I'll do sort of anything to get it, and
Yeah, like I'm fully not against chasing people, and I've had times where I've had an email thread where it's been me 3 or 4 times in a row before they eventually reply.
Oh yeah. That being said, it's not like I'm always, the greatest at getting back to an email immediately, which is why over the summer I also started putting my phone number in the email signature so people can call me,
Yeah,
because I
it's a
appreciate
great
that
idea.
everybody, and sometimes like, when you do, especially when you do runs longer runs back to back, sometimes you just and you do multiple jobs on the tour or whatever, you just don't have the time to reply to every email all the time. You just do not. And sometimes you just have to prioritize what's like in the next 3 days, and I would reply to everything, and everything else just has to wait. And so, coming to my own boundaries with that definitely also helped me seeing why other people take longer to get back to me. And I think everybody just should just call each other more often.
Yeah, I
That's
agree.
what I
Totally
learned.
agree.
But I guess how did you what was the hardships for you? You mentioned you also did a bunch of runs back to back this year.
Yes.
Sort of how did you manage that sort of advancing one tour whilst you're on, the other
So
tour and
I did three back to back, and it was three very different jobs for each one as well. And I actually had two of the tours overlapping by a couple of days. Fun. So who did I start with? It was Kim Wilde, I think. So that was a 3 week tour that I did, and I was the assistant TM for that one. So luckily I didn't have to do any of the big advancing stuff. My job role was literally just looking after the band, looking after Kim, And then the other TM looked after the crew and did all the advancing,
great,
dealing with the venues. It was just because it was mad. Like, the production was insane. The band, I think there was 8 or 9 of them,
from
memory. And I had to do things like driving the van, dealing with merch, dealing with that side of stuff, because we had venues that took a percentage of merch cuts as well. So that was the first one. And then I think I had a day off and I went straight into Incubus merch managing. I did that through a company called Sandbag. So they hired me as a freelancer to go out and do those 4 dates with Incubus. That one was a really easy one because I literally just had to turn up at the venues, watch them count the merch in. Mm-hmm. They sold it. They gave it back to me at the end of the night. So I got to watch all the shows. It was lovely. And then went straight into Nell Meskel. Did a couple of dates with her. Had loads of issues with the van breaking down right at the start of the tour. So we actually missed the first date, which was up in Manchester. We had a day off in Manchester, so I finished Incubus whilst I was with Nell's lot. And then, are we all good?
We're still here. Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry, I thought my internet dropped for a second. Where was I? Incubus tour. So we're in Manchester. I went and finished the last date of that, dropped all of the merch off at the Manchester venue, went and met up with Nell and the band. We went and played mini golf and went for food. And then I went back to the venue, got all the merch back, and then continued with Nell's tour. And we had to go over to Ireland on that tour as well. So it was just insane. Crazy, crazy time. And at the end of it, I just crashed and slept for like 3 days.
Yeah. Especially, you know, now with Brexit, handling all the carnies and all the merch.
Yeah, yeah.
Declarations and all that fun stuff that come with our job these days, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we got to the border to go over on the ferry to Ireland, and I pulled up at the place where you go to load onto the ferry and was like, where do I need to go? I've got a carnet that I need to get stamped. And the woman just looked at me like, I've got no idea what a carnet is. Yeah, it was so stupid. Luckily, we got there in plenty of time, and we managed to find the office where we needed to go to get it stamped. But I was just like, you work here, you should know this.
Like the experiences that I had with carnets all over this year, and the amount of, and it's not just even random port workers who I understand wouldn't know what it is, you know, but the amount of actual people in the very customs office having no clue what I was presenting to them, plus all the language barriers. And I mean, somehow it would always, or like the amount of times I'd have to get a carnet stamped in the middle of the night this year, for some reason, I always took the Channel ferries really late, and it just kind of worked out that way. And the amount of times, you know, I'd wait in front of the customs office for so long, and, you know, trying to basically talk them into, you know, giving me a stamp. And I've totally gotten refused to do fronts one time as well, and fun stuff like that, you know. I mean, talking about resilience there, hey, is
for sure.
You just I guess in your day in a life as a tour manager, particularly a stressful one, what are your, like, do you have any specific routine that despite everything you sort of try to keep up, and like what is your ways to kind of find a minute to yourself and sort of recharge in those kind of stressful days?
Honestly, I would love to say that I do still have a routine, but it's fully gone out of the window. I used to be so organized in myself with my days. Like, I'd get up really early, I'd do my yoga, not look at my phone until a little bit later on in the morning. And especially, I think it is actually since I did those 3 tours back to back, the rest of the year just went completely insane. And I definitely don't make enough time for myself anymore. Like, I really want to start doing the morning yoga again, going back to the gym, just really taking time for myself. So I think I'm going to make that a goal for the beginning of next year to put that in place again. But in terms of actually being out on tour, I've found myself in a couple of situations this year where I've been staying in hotels that have had a gym, that have had other bits that I could have gone and used. And then I've had to be like, okay, well, I can get an extra couple of hours sleep or I can get up early and go to the gym. And I just always seem to choose sleep because then I find that I function better during the day if I do it that way.
No, I feel that. Like, yeah, it's exactly the kind of... Sleep is always the one thing that there's too little of. Yeah, I mean, when I'm home, I have a routine of going for hikes every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've been with a friend and I've been keeping up that routine for over 2 years now whenever I'm home. And whenever I'm on the road, I still try to find whatever off day I get in a week, I try to do a hike of some kind. You know, if there's any sort of hill or mountain nearby, I'll try to hike it. But yeah, same thing there. Like, every single hour to rest is so invaluable.
Yeah.
And particularly when you're working multiple jobs and you're just, you know, out of it, it's the hardest thing. But I think still it's so important to do those things. And something I've been thinking about a lot is I keep seeing more and more tour managers or like just crews or, you know, travel parties in general, making it more of like a common exercise that sort of the whole travel party is like, it's just one other point in the day sheet type thing. And like the whole travel party, like whoever wants to participate or whatever, like goes and does like even like 10 minutes of stretching before loading or something, I think could be such a good thing. Also in terms of work safety, like fun fact about me, I somehow became really obsessed with Formula One. I'm not necessarily very interested in who wins and like how far they go or how fast they go, but I'm very, very interested in the logistics of it and like the crews behind it, because turns out a lot of the people are pretty much the same people that do music as well, you know?
I've met quite a few people recently actually that have been out doing things like Formula One or even the World Cup as well, the football, just doing things like sound and lighting. So it's really interesting seeing that over.
And by the way, I'll just manifest that right now for the universe. I would love to work Formula One shit. I would be so into that. Wow. But yeah, so the crews and the garages and stuff, they actually have a mandatory like 15-minute warm-up before every race and before every training and stuff, and you know they do it because there's so much on the line, you know, if they don't react fast enough and whatever. And it's not just like some stretches, but it's also like sort of just reflex training and playing with these little like tennis balls and whatever and like doing different exercises and stuff. And it's just something that's, you know, mandatory and everybody does it. And it's so very clearly done to prevent injuries. And I keep thinking about how many injuries happen, even just small stuff, you know, loading and things like that. And I feel like if that became a much more mandatory thing, wouldn't that be friggin' great? Not just for everybody's mental health, but like for the very safety and injury prevention and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't even tell you the amount of staircases I've had to go up this year with really heavy equipment and gear for load-ins. Even not just load-ins, just taking things into the hotel afterwards as well. It's mad. And that's kind of why I was saying as well that I really want to get back into yoga, because I feel like it's going to help support my body a lot better than how I've been doing recently.
Yeah, for sure. But so switching back from the live music side, I did want to talk to you a little bit more about the artist management side as well. And what I'm interested in is, what do you look for in artists when kind of choosing who gets to be on your, or like who you invest your time in? And I'm sure you also get a bunch of emails from artists of all kinds, sizes.
Absolutely. It's every day.
And every now and then you kind of just, you know, you kind of just facepalm yourself and sort of wonder what you just read in that email.
That happens too.
Yeah. What do you look for in artists? And that's the question.
So my company is called Passion for Talent. So the first thing I'm going to say is I look for artists that are passionate about what they're doing and have got some kind of idea of where they want to go. Because if you're having a conversation with them and you're saying, okay, what are your goals? Where do you want to play? What festivals do you want to do? Who do you want to support on tours? What are your goals for recording and releasing music? You learn very quickly who out of the bunch knows what they want and who are a bit clueless. And then that narrows it down massively. And then I start looking at things like, okay, how do they work together as a band? What's their dynamic? Have they known each other for a long time, or have they just thrown this together? So they're still getting to know each other, because that makes a massive difference as well. And also things like their ages. Have they been in the music industry for a while, or are they quite young and just starting out? What other things? I don't know, really. They're kind of the main things that I looked at when I was first starting. I've actually recently cut my roster in half. So I've only got two bands now that I manage full time, and then one band that I do bookings for. So I don't manage them. It's just the live side of stuff. And I find that helps me manage my time a lot better, because it was insane earlier this year. I just had too much going on.
And I guess it does help your live career not being on the management side too much all the time. Yeah, fair enough. I guess more, what would be a red flag, in sort of a first email that you see from an artist, or a first meeting, you know? Because I know that a lot of like younger artists listen to this podcast as well. And, you know, I frequently get asked, you know, when is the right time to get management? And, you know.
Yeah, of course. The first thing I probably notice is whether it's an email that's been copied and pasted and sent out to loads of people. That is very obvious. And it stands out if you've not done some research into the company that you're reaching out to asking for management.
Yeah.
What else? Let me think. Probably genre-wise as well. I've had some really random ones reach out that I definitely wouldn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
I'm very much involved within the rock and the metal side of stuff. So if you're a pop artist or a hip-hop artist and you're reaching out to me for management, I'm not going to know where to put you, you know? I'm not going to know what to do. So it's, again, doing the research, finding the right people, meeting the right people as well, you know? Doing the networking, finding those managers that are out there that might be interested in what you're doing, and actually talking to them in person rather than just sending them a cold email if you've never met them before.
And I guess, you know, it's sort of a loaded question, but when would you say sort of is the right time to get management for an artist?
When you have a plan in your head of where you want to go and what it is that you're doing. If you're very confused about that. Also, I find as well that sometimes if I generally don't like to take on bands that have been around for a long time, because then I start questioning, okay, well, if you've been doing it for a long time, why aren't you at a higher stage already? You know, so I do like the fresh ones. I don't know whether that's a common thing, but that's just something that I've started to do now.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, in the end, it is a fair question to ask if a band has been around for like a decade and has put out X albums, and you know, why success has come out of it, and it is, you know, not really in relation to the time put in. I know that music doesn't really work out linear that way, but it's still fair to ask, you know, how after 3, 4, 5 records, sort of. It's fair to question a progression, if you're in a conversation about such a full-on role, such management, you know.
Sometimes it just comes down to they don't quite understand how the industry works and what they should be doing, and they've not had that support to guide them there. So I understand that, and it is very difficult, but there are a lot of managers out there, so there is going to be something that's gonna fit for you. You've just got to keep trying, basically. Something else as well I could say is that I like to see if the artist is doing the networking and trying to meet the right people. So are they going out to these different networking events? Are they going to shows? Are they connecting with other bands in the scene as well? You know, it's good to make friends within the genre that you're a part of.
For sure.
It just helps you in the long run.
Hey, this is all really, really wonderful advice. My my next question would have been, what advice would you give to younger people in the industry? But I guess, what if that question was a bit less about artists, but a bit more about people also breaking into the crew side of things?
Yeah, so again, it's the networking I found. So the main reason that I chose to study at BIM, and they actually class me as a mature student, even though I'm still in my 20s, because I'm a lot older than some of the other students. I decided to go and do that degree because I didn't quite have the right connections that I needed to take that next step. So I've really utilized being at BIM, and they've helped me to meet a lot of new people. I've got a lot of experiences through them. So I said earlier about me doing that internship at Prolifica, I got that through BIM. They've also helped me with other experiences. So I did some work for Slam Dunk Festival. I started off at Heavy Music Awards through BIM as well. And now I do that every year religiously. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing as well. Just trying to find the best ways to network and talk to people, and Facebook groups. That's one thing I was going to say. There's tons and tons of Facebook groups for touring crew, merchandise crew. Get yourself joined into those.
Yeah.
Start networking, start looking every day at what is out there that you could jump onto.
For sure. UK touring crew, merchandise tour crew, UK touring crew, Vans Drivers, Bobnet, all the groups.
And LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn is another one.
I'll admit this to you. I've only really just got, I had a LinkedIn for a while. I never really updated it because nothing ever really happened there, and not ever has somebody reached out to me because of my LinkedIn. I mean, I had a little bit of time the other week and updated it and put all the tours into it, but less because I thought something would come of it, but more because I just thought it's nice to sort of have that platform for myself to track all the stuff that I'm doing. And funny enough, I did, at least LinkedIn told me afterwards that, the stats showed me afterwards that there was comparatively a lot more people clicking my page or whatever.
Yes.
And then eventually I did realize that I do think some people, especially when I reach out and apply to tours or whatever to people that don't know me, I do think they might be looking at my LinkedIn sometimes to sort of, cross check from my CV or something.
Also Instagram as well. I've had people tell me that they will check your personal Instagram, so keep that in mind as well if you're trying to break into different areas, because if you're not looking, and it kind of sucks, if you're not looking professional online on your personal accounts, then that might be a reason why you lose out on an opportunity. And it shouldn't be that way, but it quite often is.
I mean, easy if you just have a company sort of shielding you as a private person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of one of the reasons why I chose to sort of make it a company, even though it's technically just me. I mean, it used to be more people for a while, but now it's just me. And it's easier that way. But I guess, did you ever get a job from LinkedIn though? Direct connection or something?
Not a direct job. Not that I can think of, no, but I have had quite a few good phone calls through it. Mm-hmm. So I've connected with a few people that have been really helpful, and I've actually, there's this one in particular booking agent that I connected with on there, and then I've just connected with him again a little bit later down the line, and I've actually booked an artist through him for the festival that I'm doing next year.
Incredible.
So sometimes it does help, I like using LinkedIn anyway, just as another social media platform, basically.
Have fucking a ton of followers on there. That's wild. Yeah, I was looking at that earlier. I was like, wow, you are really active.
Yeah, I have no idea as well how that's happened. It seems to have been over the last 3 months that it's just it's gone insane.
Do you feel like there's a connection to the festival that you've announced?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I've had a few people message me through there asking if we've got any slots left that they can put their bands on. But I don't know, really. Maybe it's just because I do such a massive mix of different things that I'm pulling people from, the artist management world, the live music world, festivals, just everything basically. Yeah, and also a lot of students as well, I've noticed, follow me because they want to know how I'm doing it,
Sure.
especially with me still being a student as well.
Hey, tell us more about the festival that you're putting on. Isn't that
Yeah,
exciting?
so exciting, but so stressful. I'm just glad now that we're at a point where the whole lineup's been announced because I can just take a deep breath and be like, there's nothing more we can do. Just got to sell the tickets. Yeah, so that started. I met Adam, who owns Loom Booking Agency, almost a year ago now. And he's a booking agent, but he also promotes a lot of shows as well around London, and he's done a few tours and things. So he's just a great person to know anyway. And we'd had a few meetings and meetups and stuff, and he started to mention to me this idea about doing a festival. He was very much like, I've always wanted to do this thing. I'm just not sure how I'd do it on my own. And then he asked me if I wanted to do it with him. So straight away, I was like, yeah, sounds incredible. It's a brand new thing for me as well. Because again, I've promoted a lot of shows and stuff in the past, but to do my actual own festival is a big step, you
For
know?
sure.
And we had a lot of different sit downs where he talked about where we were going to put it in London, which venues we could use, what the lineup would potentially look like. So we had a provisional list of all of these bands and agents we were going to reach out to. And we started building our team. So we've got a production manager, we've got an artist liaison manager who have all got like 20 plus years experience in the industry. So they've
Great,
really
yeah.
helped us out with different bits. Yeah, and it's just kind of grown over the summer, and we recently announced, and I'm very, very happy with how it's all going, especially the ticket sales side of stuff, because we're right on top of Christmas, and you'd expect a lot of people to be like, okay, I'm going to wait until next year because I really can't afford this right now. We sold out our VIP early bird tickets really fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you. Thanks. And general sales started this morning as well, so we'll see how it does. But
Wow.
yeah.
So cool. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, this is a slightly weird segment, but I feel like I can slide this in right here because So we're speaking about organization throughout like all the different jobs, and I was just thinking particularly around the festival. You were handling so many different things. And the one thing, God, this is a very, very long way to slide into a segment, but here's my questions. I'm very obsessed with people's pellies. What is in your pelly, and how do you stay organized throughout festivals, tours, more festivals? What is in your pelly?
I don't have a penny. I don't have a penny, and
No!
I so desperately want one. Every tour I go out on, I haven't got one. So that's going to be
What?
something that I get next year. Honestly, like I'm saying, have organizational skills, but I'm really in myself. Not. I'm just chaotic, organized. You know, like my life is chaos, but I still keep on top of being organized. So I
All
don't
right,
have a penny yet.
so since you're planning out your pelly, what will be in your pelly? Like what do you wanna put into it? I guess what are say three items that you can't go through a festival tour, etc., like a normal, job day in the life? What are the three
My
things that you need?
laptop is like an extension of me. It comes everywhere. It's like another limb that I've grown. So definitely that. Let me think. I have a little bag that's got loads of different bits in it that I use for merchandise displays. So things like scissors, tape, pins for the merchandise display board that I've got, blue tack, and then the tour management stuff, I always like to have a little bit of a first aid kit. So I'll have things like paracetamol, cough syrups, sweets, things that I think people are going to need whilst we're out on the road, just because it helps and stops us having to run to the shop if someone starts to get sick. You know, what else? I recently bought a drum key as well. So another tour manager that I know said to me that it's really handy just to have one on your keychain in case a drummer ever needs it, and they always do. They
Oh,
always lose theirs.
they always lose theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same for guitarists, actually. I started bringing a guitar repair kit on tour, and
Yeah.
every single tour, the artists have loved it.
Yeah.
Again, like
Yeah.
full,
So I'm slowly starting to build
screwdrivers,
stuff.
another really good one.
Yes. Yeah. What else? Really good set of earplugs
Ah,
as well.
yeah, for sure.
So I recently bought some better ones because my hearing just isn't great at the moment because I've just done so many live shows. I actually went and got my ears looked at a couple of weeks ago, just to make sure that everything was okay. And now I've got these proper earplugs that have got filters in them. So they're a bit more
Wonderful.
expensive, but it's worth having. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Hey, that's incredible. I do hope you put your pelly together soon, because
I definitely will.
I cannot wait to see it. I'm so obsessed. Did you know there's entire What's in My Pelly YouTube channels?
Is there?
I'm not kidding
Interesting.
you.
Let's have a
I
look.
watch hours and hours of that religiously. But yeah, like, What's in My Pelly? Best question ever. I'm loving it. All right. Anyways, back after that weird fun segment. Let's slide into the last question for today. So I guess looking back now, you're doing so many things, arguably very successfully. And looking back now to yourself, working the vet jobs and not being quite sure whether music is possible, etc. Again, what would you say to the younger self nowadays?
To not give up on what I actually want to do. But even now, the point that I'm at, my mum still doesn't understand what I actually do for a job. And I think she's, even though she doesn't like to say it, I think she's probably a little bit worried about what I'm going to do when I finish at uni next year. But I know I'm going to be fine, and that's all that matters. And she's always said to me as well, as long as I'm doing what makes me happy, then that's really all that matters at the end of the day, which is really nice because I know there's a lot of people out there that will be really wanting to do this kind of thing as a job, and their family won't be supportive at all of what they want to do. But yeah, I just say don't give up. I actually had a really nice moment recently based around this festival that I'm doing. So we've booked a DJ for the after party called Sean Smith, and he is the singer of a band called Blackout. And I was a massive fan of this band back in the day. Like when I was 14, 15, me and my sisters would go see them all the time. I actually have photos with Sean when I was a teenager. It's really funny. And we've just announced him for the festival. And it's just like, I had this moment where I sat down and I was like, it feels like I'm giving a hug to my younger self, you know, and being like, look what we've done.
God, that is wonderful. Yeah, what a great way to round up this lovely, lovely conversation. Lauren,
Yes.
thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. Thank you for all the very good advice. And I think yeah, this is a really, really fun conversation to listen to. And yeah, thanks again for being on. Dear
Thank you.
listeners, make sure that you get your tickets for Loom Festival and see Lauren on a bunch of tours, and that's what it's going to
Yes.
be. Thanks everybody for listening. This is it for today. This has been the Quiz Sean Podcast. Bye.
Bye.